This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. Thanks for being here. We're spending the next few weeks talking about the American Dream and what it symbolizes now. At its core, the American Dream has always been about mobility, moving up to that good job, dream house, or comfortable retirement. And a linchpin of that mobility is higher education. A college diploma can be a ticket to a better life for yourself or your family. College graduates earn more over their lifetimes, their unemployment rates are lower, but these days a degree can also mean debt, and lots of it.
For me, it kind of seems imaginary. As a student, you never actually see this money. You don't really learn about where this money is coming from until you're forced to face it after the fact, and you have all of these student loans in most cases, in my case. You say, oh, well, I suppose I have to start thinking of this as real money, and it starts coming out of your budget, and so that's a different way of experiencing it. When you go in and you're just like, yeah, okay, I'll sign for the student loan. Yeah, definitely, student loan, and then I'll graduate and I'll make at least, you know, $100,000 starting out. And that's just not the case.
That's Rebecca. She's working in D.C. now, and that formerly imaginary debt is feeling very real. So we're going to spend this show focused on higher education and its costs, how to talk with your kids about financial choices, how to make a plan to pay back debt. We're going to start, though, with what you get for your money when you pay for a college education. And by you here, I mean the taxpayer. President Obama has proposed tying federal aid to results, making schools, the White House says, a little more accountable for graduation rates and employment. To get a sense of whether this could work, we're joined by David Leonhardt, the Washington bureau chief for the New York Times. He's written extensively about the cost of college. Welcome to the show, David.
Thank you.
Let's talk about accountability. The president says this new plan he's proposed will bring some accountability to this system. Can you kind of put it into layperson language for us?
The layperson language is that right now, the federal government, which is to say you and me and the rest of the American taxpayers, hand over an enormous amount of money to higher education, and we ask for very little in return. We don't say, hey, you know, if you actually do a good job and your students learn something, or if you do a good job and they graduate, we will give you more money than a school that is enrolling tons and tons of students and having many of them fail and drop out. And so what the president is trying to do is introduce some more accountability here. I think there'll be a lot of debate about, is he introducing the right kinds of accountability? Right now, there is relatively little accountability for the government aid that higher education receives.
Has the cost of college really gone up that much?
It depends what you mean by that much. It's really gone up, and it's really gone up less than many people think. And a lot of people get confused about this because they look at the list price. They look at the list price of fancy private schools. But the actual cost that people pay, be it for private schools or, more importantly, given the numbers, for public colleges, has not gone up as rapidly. It's gone up faster than inflation, but when you take financial aid into account, it's gone up only modestly faster than inflation.
I went back and looked at the University of Michigan, one of the best public institutions in the country, and the
Yes.
list price for a freshman going in this year is a little over $13,000. And then I went and looked at the year that, I was going to college, and we're just going to confess that that was 1994 or 95, and the sticker price then was $5,500. So that seems like a big increase. Walk me through what people actually end up paying.
Paying for college has gotten more expensive, but at some colleges, it's also gotten more progressive, like a progressive tax system, in which the gap between what a rich person pays and a poor person pays has grown. And I'm not sure we should be that concerned about that, because the rich have done so well over the last couple decades, getting enormous raises, that they can afford a higher college bill than they could have 20 years ago.
Last year, the average amount of student loan debt was about $28,000, and the median income for college graduates was $46,000. Man, that seems like not a lot of money to be earning with that much debt to carry.
One thing that struck me personally about that average level of debt, $28,000, is that when you adjust for inflation, it's very similar to the amount of college debt I graduated with almost 20 years ago. I didn't enjoy having that college debt, to say the least. But it's not that hard to pay off $28,000 in debt for a typical college graduate relative to what that typical graduate's life would be like if he or she didn't go to college.
Hmm.
Compare $28,000 not to what you make your first year out of college. Compare it to the difference over 5 or 10 or 20 or 40 years between what a college graduate earns and what someone who doesn't graduate from college earns. And then the amount of college debt we have, while not great, starts to look less bad.
Overall, education is still an expensive thing. Are there going to be pressures over the next 5 years, the next decade, to lower that cost?
The good news is there are two forces that could work in the other direction. One is technology. I do think it's possible that new players, so-called MOOCs, online courses, could put cost pressure on colleges if they can prove to succeed and prove to succeed at a lower cost. And the second thing is, over the long run, governments are going to be strapped because they're going to have to pay for the retiring baby boomers. And I think that is going to make them take more seriously the idea of asking colleges for some accountability.
David Leonhardt is the Washington Bureau Chief of the New York Times. David, thank you.
Thanks for having me.